Hello, and welcome to Speaking of College of Charleston. I'm Meredith English Perrone, the Marketing and Communications Manager for Campus Services. Campus Services represents 7 offices on campus that are all here to help enhance the College of Charleston experience for students, faculty, and staff. I'm here today with Reagan Henry. Reagan is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and a certified eating disorder specialist. She's a Charleston native and joined the College of Charleston in April of 2022 and is the registered dietitian for dining services, which is one of the campus services offices I just mentioned. Her interest in sustainable eating began during her college days when she started studying motivators for local food consumption and other sustainable behaviors among college students. And she's had a passion for working with college students since then. Welcome, Reagan. Hi, Reagan. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Mary.
Yes. So anyone who knows me knows that I really like to talk about food, and sometimes I even try to eat well. So I like learning about it. So I'm really excited to dig into this topic with you and to learn about how you work with our students to help form healthy habits while they're here at the College of Charleston. So March is National Nutrition Month. Thanks for teaching me that. And this is a campaign hosted by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And their theme for this year is Fuel for the Future, which is all about sustainable eating. Can you talk to me about how you help our students navigate healthy eating while they're here on campus? And then we can talk some more about sustainable eating, because I'd like to learn more about that too.
Yeah, absolutely, Meredith. So working with our students is definitely the highlight of my job. I get to work with students on an individual level in nutrition counseling sessions, and I get to get out in the dining halls around campus and do some fun wellness events. So I'm actually a free resource to all College of Charleston students. Students can meet with me to talk about anything from their personal health goals to managing food allergies, dietary restrictions, learning how to plan and prepare meals independently, and even so much more than that. So in terms of wellness events during the month of March, I'm going to bring my smoothie bike out, and we're going to do a spring break kickoff with some fun and nutritious frozen drinks at Rivers Green. And I'll also be at City Bistro later in the month talking more about eco-friendly eating tips to go along the lines of that National Nutrition Month Fuel for the Future theme. So I love it when students come up, chat with me, so I highly encourage them to come say hey if they see me around campus.
Yes, we see you around a lot, and it's always fun, always something going on. So you mentioned the sustainable eating, and I guess riding your bike to make a smoothie might be one way of doing that. But what does sustainable eating really mean? I could sustain eating all day long, but I know that's not it.
Hey, so. That's one interpretation.
Sure.
For sure. So in 1987, the United Nations defined sustainability as meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So healthy eating really is sustainable eating when you think about each individual meeting their own personal health needs. But when we're looking at sort of a larger lens, in 1987, the population was about 5 billion people. Today, it's almost 8 billion. And by 2050, we're going to be over 9 billion people on this planet. So our population is growing, but our resources are not going to be able to keep up. So we know that agriculture and related land use change accounts for 25% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So there's a lot of room for all of us to make some small adjustments that are going to help preserve our resources and support the health of the planet and the health of future generations.
Sure. That's obviously quite important. That's a lot of hungry people to feed. And hopefully I'll still be around by then. And I would like to ensure that we all get to have healthy food at hand. What are some ways that we can do this? How can we tackle this problem?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things we can do. So one of those things is eating less animal-based foods. So the production of animal-based foods makes up about 2/3 of all agricultural greenhouse gas emissions and requires more than 75% of agriculture-related land use. So if we're comparing beef with beans, beef production emits about 20 times the greenhouse gases and requires about 20 times the land used when you compare it to bean production. And that's per gram of protein. So there is some concern about plant-based foods having less protein, but that's really not the case when you're looking at protein to protein comparisons.
Okay.
So you don't have to be vegan or vegetarian to make a difference.
Yay. If
yes, the good news, right? Nutrition isn't black and white. If fully cutting out meat or animal products just doesn't feel like realistic for you, consider small changes that do feel realistic. Maybe that's Meatless Monday or incorporating more plant-forward meals, which is this concept that emphasizes healthy plants at the center of the plate and using meat as a garnish or a flavor enhancer, but in much smaller quantities than most of us are used to.
Mm-hmm. The Meatless Monday, I've kind of heard of variations on that where it's like vegan until dinner or vegetarian until dinner so that your earlier meals in the day, I mean, I guess that would probably accomplish similar things.
Yeah, see, it's really about what fits your lifestyle, mm-hmm. right? Every little change counts. So if it's one meal once a week or one day or, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can make an impact with your eating.
What, so I've always learned that, like, the healthy portion of a protein is kind of the size of the palm of your hand. But if we're talking about a smaller flavor enhancer, mm-hmm. what's kind of like an ideal flavor enhancer size?
So that's really up to the consumer. And so you want to make sure you are getting enough protein. But the good news is that plant-based foods have protein too. So when you cut back on how much meat you're eating, it just depends on what sort of suits your needs and suits your palate. And so you could have an ounce or 2 ounces where that typical portion would be 3 ounces, and just reducing by that much will make an impact.
Great. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other ways? That's very easy to do, I think.
So. Yeah, another big one that we can all do is work to reduce our food waste.
Mm-hmm.
So at home, trying to plan meals ahead of time, and when planning, doing sort of an inventory of what we already have on hand in our kitchens. We want to use foods that we know are going to go bad before we buy other foods. So make your grocery list according to what you've planned. When you go to the store, stick to the list and don't buy extra foods that are just going to end up wasted. I'm also a very big advocate of buying the ugly produce. So maybe nobody else is going to buy it, but especially if you're going to make a soup or a sauce or a casserole, buy that ugly produce that might end up going to waste, because ultimately it's going to end up modified and you're not going to know the difference.
It's what's inside that matters.
It's what's inside that matters. That applies to everything, even our fruits and veggies.
Good.
So, and speaking of produce, you should be picking your produce wisely. So some fruits called climacteric fruits continue to ripen after they're harvested. So apples, bananas, avocados, tomatoes, peaches, those are all examples of climacteric fruits. They should be stored at room temperature until they're at that desired ripeness. I just think about the, like, social media trend about your avocado screaming at you between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. that it's ready to be eaten, right? But so storing those on the counter until they're ripe.
Until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Until 3 o'clock in the morning when you have to go eat your avocado. Once your produce is ripe, those climacteric fruits are ripe, put them in the fridge. So they're still going to continue to ripen, but storing them in the fridge in those cooler temperatures is going to slow that process, so the shelf life is a little bit longer. Non-climacteric fruits, on the other hand, are things like bell peppers, berries, citrus, grapes, cucumbers. Those don't continue to ripen after harvest, so what you see is what you get at the grocery store, and you really need to keep that in mind when you're selecting those foods.
They do like to get moldy in my refrigerator.
Yes. And so if you do have produce that is either too ripe for your liking or it starts to go bad, go ahead and throw it in the freezer.
Mm.
It can be used for smoothies or, again, to go in those, like, soups and casseroles rather than wasting it. You can freeze it to be used later.
Food waste makes me very sad, so...
Absolutely.
I gotta get to the freezer with my berries before they
Absolutely. Yep. And when it comes to produce, fresh isn't the only option, right? So frozen and canned produce options are really great for reducing food waste because they have longer shelf lives.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just as nutritious as fresh produce. A lot of times they're a little bit more cost effective than fresh produce, and they're always harvested at that peak ripeness before they're frozen or canned. So you're getting the nutrition benefits from that produce with that longer shelf life. Mm-hmm. You just have to be careful of the added salts, sugars, and sauces that might come with some
just
of those
by the plain ones.
Just mm-hmm. by the plain mm-hmm. Produce.
They have been a game changer with having a kid. And so you always just have a bag of frozen vegetables available. So
absolutely.
You're not
right.
worried about that. And it's a great tip for everybody. I think we should all eat like we feed our toddlers, frankly.
Yeah.
They eat a lot better than we do sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Towards the end of the week when I'm out of fresh produce but I haven't made it to the grocery store, I always reach for my frozen bag of veggies mm-hmm. or frozen fruit. So I always keep it on hand, too.
Great. So we all do our very best to not waste food. I especially try my hardest, but sometimes we mess up. I at home with my family use a compost service where they come and pick up our food waste, and it's nice to have kind of a commercial group that does it for us because it opens it up to additional items that I might not be able to do through regular home compost, but both are valuable, I think. So I see compost as something really important in the little bit of food waste that we produce. What's the college doing with compost these days?
Yeah, we definitely mess up sometimes. There's definitely food waste that happens, especially in our dining halls, whether it's leftover food from a student's plate or leftover food that wasn't served to a guest.
Or even preparation stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Like the stuff that gets kind of cut off. And
Yeah. the leftover ends of the carrots, things like that. So we do compost in our dining halls. So any of our leftover food items are composted. And in City Bistro, we actually have we actually have all single-use items that can be composted as well. So we have paper plates, utensils, cups, and we use a pulper down there. So I'm sure anybody who's ever...
What's a pulper?
I'm sure anybody who's ever eaten in City Bistro has been like, what is that big pulper? But essentially a pulper takes the food scraps, all of the compostable plates and utensils, and literally pulps it. So all of the materials are ground to a pulp. The right ratio of water is added into that mixture so that it's optimized for composting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot do that at home, but
somebody else
can do that for me.
It is a very fancy machine, but it makes the composting process so much more effective and efficient.
Oh, that's great. Yes, because there's a lot of food that we eat on campus, a lot mm-hmm. of students that we serve, and mm-hmm. faculty and staff, because I know that I eat on campus. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know that if I didn't finish my pizza slice.
Absolutely. I will say, too, if students are mainly eating in our dining halls and looking to reduce their food waste, I always encourage being mindful of the portions you put on your plate, really thinking about how hungry you are and always knowing that you can go back for a second or a third portion of food so that your eyes aren't bigger than your stomach and you don't end up wasting a lot of food at the end of your meal.
I find we have a reusable to-go box program too with some of our dining facilities, and I find that really useful for me because I can take what I need in my container and I'm not looking at a buffet of food that I want to eat before I get back to the office. It allows me to kind of eat small meals on it throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just sometimes so many good options. Mm-hmm. So I always just remind people, think about how hungry you truly are so that we're not wasting a lot of the food that is on your plate.
We made big strides with that years ago. I remember moving from trays. Remember cafeteria trays?
Mm-hmm.
those just going away from trays where you could fill up multiple plates on it at one time. You can now Just do your plate
and then see where you're at when you're done.
Yeah, wonderful. Good.
Yeah.
What else you got?
and my last eco-friendly eating tip is to eat more local foods.
Okay.
So there are plenty of benefits to eating locally produced foods. And from an environmental sustainability lens, eating local is associated with reduced energy requirements needed for transporting the foods, reduced energy requirements for that climate-controlled storage when food is transported from distant locations. It's usually fresher to eat local produce as well because there's less time between when it's harvested and when it hits your kitchen. And when we eat local, local, we're supporting our local food system, which means we're supporting the local economy. We're supporting small family-owned farms and businesses.
That's great.
Yeah, and fortunately, there's lots of opportunities to find local products in Charleston, from our very own on-campus farmers market to the big Charleston farmers market that happens in Marion Square on Saturdays.
That's also convenient to campus besides the one that we have here on campus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this kind of ties in with my next question for you, because, I mean, these are reasonably easy action items for me. I, you know, don't live on campus because I'm a grown up and I don't go to school here. But what are ways that the College of Charleston students can do these things while they're here, living here and forming these good habits?
Yeah, so I just mentioned our on-campus farmers market. And if you haven't stopped by yet, I highly encourage coming out in March or April to the market. Mm-hmm. So weather permitting, they take place under Satilli Clock once a month, and all the products are sourced through Grow Food Carolina, which is a local food hub. And there's always some fun and interesting options, from local honey to salt, mushrooms, sea beans, variety of lettuces. There's something for everyone at the market. And our students can actually use Meal Taps, Dining Dollars, or Cougar Cash to buy those products.
That's so cool. That's really convenient. And that's just loaded on their Cougar card, as I know so well.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
you know
great.
Exactly how that works.
I do. Really cool.
Yeah. So in the dining halls, we also make it really easy to identify those eco-friendly food choices. So we use nutrition icons that identify vegan, vegetarian, and plant-forward menu options on our menu iPads and our Campus Dish website. And we also have just started partnering with the World Resource Institute this semester, and we're now labeling cool foods in the dining hall. So those cool foods have met certain criteria and have a lower carbon footprint. So be on the lookout for those icons.
That's wonderful. I guess that's the one time I can say that's cool, and it's...
Hey, that's very cool.
Sorry, I'll be here all day. That's wonderful. Farmers markets, nutrition icons, and then you mentioned some local partnerships.
We partner with local businesses to bring homegrown products into our dining halls. So an example of this is our partnership with Seaside Grown. They're a family-owned farm on the coast of South Carolina, and they grow delicious tomatoes. But they also purchase produce from other local farms that might be too ripe to hit the consumer market and would have just been wasted. What Seaside Grown does is they take these products and make sauces, jams, and more. So all of our pizza sauce is made with that Seaside Grown sauce.
Well, I didn't need another excuse to eat pizza whenever I go to Liberty, but I will take it.
Yep.
So kind of digging more into sustainability, one thing working here at the college for a while has taught me is about the triple bottom line in sustainability, and those three components being social, environmental, and economic. And I think the environmental component of what we've talked about is pretty obvious here. And then we've touched on some of the economic advantages with our food choices, because it can help our own budget by not letting things go to waste. And then we also help our local economy. But then the last component of sustainability, and I think you've started with this in the very beginning, is the social component, making sure there's enough for everybody. And so one thing I'd want to touch on real quickly is food insecurity on college campuses, because this is something that we see nationwide and then we also see here at the college. And I'm just kind of curious what the college is doing to support students who may be facing food insecurity.
Yeah, food insecurity on college campuses is a lot more common than most people realize, and ultimately it's a health and a quality of life concern. So it has impacts from stress to trouble focusing in classes to poor sleep quality, increased prevalence of mental health conditions like depression, and increased risk of chronic disease development later in life. So it's a really serious issue, and there are some great things going on around the college and at the college, like the Cougar Pantry. So students who are experiencing food insecurity can stop by Cougar Pantry, located in Stern Center, and get free shelf-stable products, no questions asked.
They can do that anonymously as well if they wanted to. Yep. It's just kind of an open...
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, no questions asked. And there's also an interactive Charleston free food finder map that's available online. It's supported by Low Country Food Bank, the City of Charleston, and CFC's very own Riley Center for Livable Communities. Mm-hmm. So anyone can visit that website and find free food that's available in the Charleston area.
That's wonderful. That's really great.
Yeah.
There's so much food in this city.
Yeah, there's so many like opportunities and resources out there, and the Free Food Finder map kind of consolidates all of that so that people can really see what's available to them in that like specific moment.
Well, Reagan, that is a great resource. You are a great resource for our students. And if you could, let's tell listeners how they can find you, how students can use you as a resource so that they can tap into all of this information that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. So students can find me in the Dining Services office at 65 George Street, the first floor of Craig. They can also shoot me an email, henry-reagan@airmark.com, and schedule an appointment, ask questions about what we're serving in the dining hall or just any other sort of nutrition-related things. I really want to be that resource for students on campus.
Well, thank you. I've learned a lot from you today and just getting to know you over the last little bit of time. So I'm really glad we got to talk about food and
yes,
nutrition.
Loved talking about food today and always.
Always.
Thanks, Meredith.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this episode of Speaking of College of Charleston with today's guest, Reagan Henry. For more episodes and to read stories about our guests, visit the College of Charleston's official news site, The College Today, at today.covc.edu. You can also find this and past episodes on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and leave a review. This episode was produced by Amy Stockwell from University Communications, with recording and sound engineering by Jesse Kunz from the Division of Information Technology. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.